البيان راديو presents an explanation of كتاب التوحيد from صحيح البخاري presented by شيخ محمد دعار.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه. أما بعد, my dearly respected brothers and sisters, tonight, by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, as you are aware, we continue with our sharh of Kitab al-Tawheed from Sahih al-Bukhari. And we are currently going through the chapter which discusses the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today we take a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he says that once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was preaching while a Bedouin was sitting there. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was calling to Allah azza wa jal while there was a Bedouin sitting there. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a man from among the people of Jannah will request Allah Azza wa Jal to allow him to cultivate the land. A man from the people of Jannah will ask Allah Azza wa Jal to allow him to cultivate the land. And Allah Azza wa Jal will say to him, haven't you already got whatever you desire? The man's in Jannah. So Allah asks the man, haven't you already got whatever you desire? So the man will reply, yes, but I love to cultivate the land. And Allah will permit him, and he will sow the seeds. The man will sow the seeds, and within seconds the plants will grow and ripen, and the yield will be harvested and piled in heaps like mountains. On that Allah Azza wa Jal will say to him, take, here, O son of Adam, for nothing satisfies you. The Bedouin that was sitting there when he heard this hadith, he said, Ya Rasulullah, such a man must be either from Quraysh or from the Ansar, for they are farmers, while we are not. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled at what the Bedouin had to say. This hadith is an amazing hadith. As you can see, it's clear why Imam al-Bukhari used it in this chapter. There's a dialogue between Allah and this man in Jannah. Allah is talking to him and the man talking to Allah. When the Prophet ﷺ was mentioning this hadith, there was a Bedouin sitting with the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba. And a Bedouin means someone from the Badia. And the Badia is the opposite of the Hadira. The Badia means like the desert, the open, out, away from the city. The Hadira is the city, the Badia is out, in the open. And the Badia is not covered with buildings. So the people that live in the Badia are known as the Bedouins. Are known as the Bedouins. And the Bedouins, as the scholars have mentioned who explain these ahadith, even up until today, I've met some. The Bedouins are very courageous in speech. They're not shy. And they're very sharp when they talk. And their talking is very straightforward. And the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they used to love when the Bedouins who were of sound mind, because some of them can be of non-sound mind, if that's a word, but you get the drift. The Sahaba used to love the smart Bedouins to sit with them when the Prophet ﷺ was around. Why? Because the Badu would ask the courageous questions that the Sahaba would be too shy to ask. So the Sahaba used to love it because they'll do the work for them. This is the type of character that the bid, because think about it, you're talking about people who are not living in the city. They're people that are known to be rough and tough in everything, their speech, their character, everything. That's how they are. So they used to benefit whenever a Bedouin would be sitting amongst them. And this hadith, it shows that this Bedouin man, he believed that the man in Jannah in the hadith was from the farmers of the dunya. Because this man in Jannah, what's he asking Allah? Allow me to cultivate the land like a farmer will in this world. And when Allah asked him, don't you already have what you want? What's your need of cultivating the land in paradise? What do you need to plant trees for and allow them to grow? You've already got whatever you want. So the man, what did he reply? Yes, I do have whatever I want, but I love to cultivate the land. So that shows, wallahu alam, he was a farmer in the dunya. And what does this prove, ya shabab? It proves that what a person desires in the dunya and loves to do will be available for him in paradise. And this hadith is very clear on that. Even though in Jannah you're already getting everything and whatever you want. So someone enjoys hunting in this dunya. Muhammad, you like hunting? You haven't been. I thought from your car you would have been a huntsman. Inshallah. But let's say someone loves hunting. You might say, why do you need to hunt in Jannah? The food comes straight to you. You love that in the dunya, it's available for you in the akhirah. And you apply that on everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made paradise in a way for the mu'min to enjoy. And what you enjoyed in the dunya, you would enjoy it in the akhirah as well. So Allah Azza wa Jal says to that man, haven't you already got what you desire? Meaning, don't you already have everything? And there's no need to plan. And the man replies, yes, I have everything, but it's not a need. It's something I love to do. So Allah Azza wa Jal allows it to happen. And subhanAllah, the way it happens is miraculous. Within seconds, he plants the seeds, they grow, and the fruits are on the trees. And that's from the miracles, no doubt, and the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Qudra. And then the Bedouin at the end of the hadith, he asked the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Ya Rasulullah, that man in Jannah, he has to be either from Quraysh or the Ansar. Because Quraysh and the Ansar loved to farm. They were farmers, and the Ansar more than Quraysh. That's why there's a lot of date farms and trees in Medina. But he said that as a joke. Yani 100% that man is from Quraysh or the Ansar. And because of that, the Prophet ﷺ laughed, or he smiled. So Imam al-Bukhari put this hadith here because there's a clear conversation between Allah and his abd. So he affirms the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He then moves on to the next chapter. And he titled this chapter with a number of verses. The first one is, therefore remember me, I will remember you. Allah says, remember me and I will remember you. For Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he intended with this chapter to show the difference between what is considered to be Allah's actions and what is His attribute. There's a difference between Allah's fa'l and His sifa, Allah's action and His attribute, and the difference between the actions of the servants and what is their attributes also. And this chapter has been put to refute those who did not distinguish between the two. meaning between the attribute and the action. As you will see, some of the deviant sects, they did not differentiate between the fa'al and the sifa, between the action and the attribute. Imam al-Bukhari wants to clarify this, that there is a difference between the action and the attribute. And he clarified this in his book, Khalq Af'al al-Ibad, the famous book for Imam al-Bukhari, which is titled The Creation of the Servant's Actions. That's the name of the book. Khalq Af'al al-Ibad, The Creation of the Servant's Actions. Where he said in that book, after the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, the servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So Allah says, Hamadani Abdi. As we know the hadith, when the servant says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah says, my servant has praised me. After he mentioned that hadith, Imam al-Bukhari said, he showed that the servant asking is different to what Allah is giving the servant. The servant asking Allah is different to what Allah is giving back to the servant. And the words of the servant are different to the words of Allah. When the servant says, Alhamdulillah, that's his words. Then Allah says, my servant has praised me. That's Allah's words. This is what Imam al-Bukhari is mentioning. So the words of the servant are different to the words of Allah. And this from the servant is a dua. When we say Alhamdulillah, it's a form of dua. And from Allah is the order and the answer. So when we say Alhamdulillah, we are making a dua to Allah, and then Allah Azza wa Jal responds to the dua. So the words of the abd are different to the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this brings up an important point regarding when we read the Quran. The scholars have mentioned that the recitation is different to the recited. Pay attention. Your recitation of the Quran is different to what you are reciting. What does this mean? The recitation, the tilawa, is from the servant with his voice by moving his mouth. But what is recited is the word of Allah. So the recitation is different to the recited. When you read the Quran, that's your recitation with your mouth, your voice. But what you are reciting is Kalamullah. It's the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when I was in Jannah, I heard a man's voice with the Quran. I heard a man's voice with the Quran. So this shows that the voice is different to the Quran. Your voice is not the Quran. Your voice is the recitation. But what you are reciting is the Quran, which is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a principle in Aqidah. And this is only mentioned, my brothers and sisters, only because the deviant sects have deviated, where they did not differentiate, or they said that the Quran is a creation. And when you recite, you're reciting a creation. This is what the deviants have mentioned. For Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah only mentioned points like this for the need, because of those who went against the truth in these types of chapters. He then moves on to the next chapter, and that is The chapter which he once again titles with a verse, Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Do not set up rivals with Allah while you know. Do not set up rivals, andad, with Allah while you know. So Allah tells us in the Quran, do not give Allah andad. Andad translates as rivals. In Arabic, the word is nid. Nid is one. The plural is andad. A nid is something which is similar and opposes. Something of same level and it opposes you. So if you have an opposition, that's a nid to you. Allah is telling us, do not give Allah andad, meaning rivals. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, two of the greatest sahaba in tafsir, they said regarding this verse, it means, do not give Allah Azza wa Jal men who you obey in disobeying Allah. Do not make men who you obey in disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is what we call taking people as lords besides Allah Azza wa Jal. From the forms of taking a person as a lord besides Allah is when you obey them in disobeying Allah. Like the leaders or scholars that make halal what Allah makes haram. Or they make haram what Allah makes halal. To obey them inna, you've taken them as a lord. And Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah has dedicated a complete chapter in Kitab al-Tawheed to this topic. And Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran in Surah At-Tawbah, when he speaks about the Yahud and the Nasara, the Jews and the Christians, he says, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. They took their priests and their monks as lords besides Allah. So Allah talks about the Jews and the Christians that they took their priests, their leaders, as lords besides Allah. When this verse came down, a Christian man asked Rasulullah SAW, and he said, we do not worship our priests and our monks. So why is the Quran saying we took them as lords besides Allah? So the Prophet ﷺ asked him this question. He said, when your leaders make halal what Allah made haram, do you obey them? He said, yes. He said, and when they make haram what Allah made halal, do you obey them? He said, yes. And Nabi ﷺ said, tilka ibadatahum, that is worshipping them. But this, the tafsir of the Sahaba here is this. A rival to Allah is someone who takes men and obeys them in the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is not allowed in our religion. Ibn Abi Zayd rahimahullah also gave a tafsir and he said, andad are gods. Andad is the general meaning of gods which are made with partners, as partners with Allah. In Sunan al-Nasa'i, one of the six books of Ahl al-Sunnah, our main six hadith books, one of them is Sunan al-Nasa'i. There's a hadith that mentions a man came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said to him, Ma sha Allah wa shi'ta. He was discussing something with the Prophet ﷺ and he wanted to ascribe the will to Allah and to the Prophet ﷺ. In other words, whatever Allah wills and you will, O Muhammad. This is what he said. He said, whatever Allah wills and you. Whatever Allah wills and you. Here the Prophet ﷺ, being the great teacher that he is, correcting people's aqidah, which is the most important thing. He was never shy ﷺ. When a person made a mistake in creed, he will always correct it. Why? Because what's the use of all your actions if the creed is deficient? Your aqeedah is what saves your religion. It does not matter if you pray, fast, do hajj, give zakat, whatever. If your tawheed is not correct, it's all worthless. Because tawheed is your iman. It's the difference between iman and kufr. But when the man said these words, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what Allah wills and what you will, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, أَجَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدَّا. Have you made me a rival with Allah? Look how he corrected him. Have you made me a partner, a rival with Allah? He told him, rather say, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ. What Allah wills alone. And from this, we get the great benefit, my dear brothers and sisters, that we never put people equal with Allah in our words, in anything, but including our words. So for example, we do not say, if it wasn't for Allah and you. Pay attention, a very common word. Someone helped you out. You don't say if it wasn't for Allah and you. But what you are allowed to say, if it wasn't for Allah and then, thumma. That word is what makes the difference. If it wasn't for Allah and then you. Okay? What Allah wills and then you. You have to add the then. Otherwise, you're putting the person on the same level. That's what the Prophet ﷺ taught the man. Say what Allah wills and then you. This is very important. And this is considered to be minor shirk. It's considered to be minor shirk depending on the state of the heart, where it can reach major shirk if the person's connection to the object or to the person becomes greater and excessive. And making andad to Allah Azza wa Jal can be done either in words or actions. People can give Allah rivals either in their words or in their actions. And it can either be in both major or minor shirk, as we just discussed. As mentioned in the narration of Ikrimah radiallahu anhu, it is when a man says, if it wasn't for our dog, the thief would have entered our home. Something so simple. Look at that. I've got a guard dog. If it wasn't for my dog, that thief would have been able to enter my home. That statement is minor shirk. Because it's attributing the cause to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. But this, if it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for this, we have to be very careful with these types of words. Another example is to make Allah Azza wa Jal's words like the words of His creation. To put them on the same level, that Allah's words are like the words of His creation. Or to make His attributes like the attributes of His creation. And that's what Imam al-Bukhari intended here. Imam al-Bukhari intended to show that everything its cause is from Allah. And making the cause of things to other than Allah is from setting up rivals with Him. It's from setting up rivals with Him, either in minor or major shirk. Like saying if it wasn't for Allah and you, as we just mentioned, or making oaths by other than Allah. These are all forms of minor shirk. The actions of the creation are created by Allah. Our actions are created by Allah. Because if they were the creators of their actions, if we were the ones that created our own actions, then we would be andad with Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why Imam al-Bukhari wrote that whole book, Khalq Af'al al-Ibad, the creation of the actions of the servants. To show that everything it causes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is the cause of everything. And Bukhari intended this when he wrote that book. And this refutes the Jahmiyyah, who said that the abd, the slave, has no qudra. The Jahmis, they believe that we have no ability. Okay? And Imam al-Bukhari, this chapter and his other books entirely were authored to refute the people of innovation on these points. For these masail, my brothers and sisters, they are detailed matters of aqeedah. And it is important that the Muslim knows the difference between the truth and the falsehood, both in the general aspects of creed, and the more you study aqeedah, you get into the detailed differences between Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the people of innovation. And inshallah, next week, we will take the first hadith in this particular chapter. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.